sense of God. Please turn with me to the Heidelberg Catechism, to Lord's Day number 40. Lord's Day 40, as we've been going through each of the commandments, we are in the sixth commandment today. And this commandment has three questions and answers to it. This is found on page 43 in your red booklets. So please respond to the questions. What does God require in the sixth commandment? That I do not revile, hate, insult, or kill my neighbor, either in word or gesture, much less in deed, whether by myself or by another, but lay aside all desire of revenge. Moreover, that I do not harm myself, nor willfully run into any danger, wherefore also to restrain murder the magistrate is armed with the sword. Does this commandment speak only of killing? No. But in forbidding murder, God teaches us that he abhors its very root, namely envy, hatred, anger, and desire of revenge, and that in his sight all these are hidden murder. But is this all that is required, that we do not kill our neighbor? No. For in condemning envy, hatred, and anger, God requires us to love our neighbor as ourselves, to show patience, peace, and meekness, mercy, and kindness toward him, and to prevent his hurt as much as possible, also to do good even unto our enemies. Saints of God, we have arrived at the second table of the law. The first table teaches us how we are to worship and love God. The second table, commandments 5 to 10, focus on how do we love our neighbor. The sixth commandment particularly is about the unlawful killing of another human being. Now, we kill lots of things, right, of living things, and we don't call it murder. Right? We kill livestock, we chop down trees to eat, have resources. We kill lots of living things, but it's not considered murder. But when we harm, or let alone end the life of another human being, we're not harming just another creature. But we are harming and murdering a creature made in God's image. Murder says that we have the same authority as the Creator himself to take away life. Murder says that that person is beneath me in worth, and their name is not worth protecting or valuing. When our Lord speaks of murder in the Sermon on the Mount, he doesn't simply focus on the physical act, but on the root of murder. He focuses on the root of murder. And that's what the Catechism seeks to do in summarizing what the Bible requires out of us in obeying the sixth commandment. From the start, the Catechism begins by saying that the Bible requires us to not revile, hate, insult, or kill in thought, word, or deed. You see, murder doesn't just happen out of nowhere. Like every commandment, it begins with the heart and with our attitude towards one another. Christ says in Mark 7 that out of the heart comes murder, among other things. The Catechism highlights four root causes of murder. The first one is envy. Envy is not the same thing as covetousness, although they are similar. There's some similarities between them. Coveting starts with discontentment and then moves to wanting what the other person has. Envy, on the other hand, desires to deny somebody, to strip somebody of their possession or status that has been given to them. They're both desires. They both can lead into bitterness, hatred, or even murder. Think of Joseph's brothers starting in Genesis 37. Joseph, who is the youngest brother, receives a special treatment. He gets his many-colored coat. He begins to have dreams. He starts telling his dreams to his family. And then in verse 11 of chapter 37, it says the brothers envied Joseph. Envy was the root or the engine of their sin that drove them towards attempted murder. Proverbs 14:30 says, a sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. The next one is hatred. Hatred in and of itself is not always sinful in every single context when it matches what God hates. God hates what is evil. The Bible is very clear about that. Because evil goes against everything that is objectively good. But when you hate what is good, or when you hate what you are called to love and value, then it becomes wickedness. So in the context of personal relationships, which is what we're talking about, in the context of personal relationships, hatred means you have so little regard for the other person that you wish them gone or dead. The person becomes less than human because you make them into someone less than human or something less than human. It's the opposite of love because you refuse to value that person as an equal. Hatred makes you think that they don't deserve your charity. They don't deserve your care. But 1 John, the apostle, calls us to love one another because of the love we have received in Christ. 1 John 3:14 says, "He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer." Not is like a murderer, but he says is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. The third root cause of murder is anger. Anger is all about self-preservation. It's about protecting your reputation, your name, even at the expense of someone else's. Anger is an emotion of wrath because someone has broken whatever you value the most. Whatever commandment that you hold dear. In our anger, we think we're being just, and that's really the deceit behind anger. We think we're being just when we're really acting out of our own self-righteousness. Therefore, we can often insult or degrade one another in our words or thoughts. Jesus says, "Whoever says to his brother, 'You fool,' is in danger of hellfire." Anger is a fire that can only intensify and grow stronger. Even if it never escalates to the point of physical murder, your heart is far from preserving and loving that person as an image bearer. Anger is simply murdering someone in your heart or in your thoughts because you wish them gone. You wish them punished. Revenge is the fourth and last root cause of murder. When you want to right the wrongs, it's a desire to punish someone out of your sense of justice when it's not in your power to do so. We're not called to avenge ourselves, no matter how great the crime. We must leave room for the wrath of God, Paul says. That doesn't mean we don't pursue justice. But it does mean that we pursue justice on God's terms, using the institutions that God has placed to wield the sword. He has not given us that ability to wield the sword. "Vengeance is mine," says the Lord. Behind envy, behind anger, revenge, envy, or hatred, is often a heart filled with pain trying to find relief. And sin is a ruthless slave driver, isn't it? It promises you closure, it promises you justice and peace, but all sin can do is take away. Proverbs 27:20, "Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied." The answer to envy is not hoping the person gets what they deserve. It's about humbling yourself before the Son of God who took what you deserved. The answer to hatred is not indulging in your self-righteousness. It's knowing that through the just punishment Christ received on your behalf, you are made righteous. The answer to anger is not to think yourself better, but by looking to Christ, who is worthy of all glory, yet made himself lower than the angels through his death on the cross. The answer to revenge is not getting what's yours. It's not about going tit for tat, but entrusting the one who judges justly, to handle it in His timing and in His way. When Christ was insulted, He did not return with insult or threat. The God who has all power, I mean, if you really think about this, the God who has all power, who created all things, chose not to exercise His power at this most vulnerable point in all of history on the cross, because He did not do so for His own gain. Christ committed Himself to His Father in order to bear our sins, Peter says, in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live righteously. All of these sins essentially resort to placing ourselves first. But as Christians, we stand on grace. We stand on God's forgiveness because Christ was humbled for us. The only true response to that is to place others first before ourselves. As Paul says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Obeying the sixth commandment means we preserve the life, reputation, and the well-being of our neighbor, even when it's costly to us. Especially when it's costly to our pride. The only way we can walk in that is by looking to Christ, who loves and forgives murderers like us. Amen.